It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Lube text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
I almost texted you last night, Jay. Come on
in. Why? Way to disappoint me.
I was going to say to you, you know, let's get in extra early today because struggling for things to talk about.
Yeah. We're going to have to really produce up today. Also, nice hat.
Thank you. It's so funny how this business works. Good morning, everybody.
Can I say something real quick?
Please.
So I logged in about 3:45-ish this morning to look at the rundown. I was getting ready to put some stuff in, and yeah. I noticed you did it.
Yeah.
I swear to God, the way you laid it out was literally how I had already laid it out in my mind. I was like, wow, geniuses think alike. Who knew?
I mean, it's what's hilarious and also rough about this business is you go all these months going like, all right, is Tom Brady the greatest of all time? Let's put that at 7 a.m. Let's talk about
You beat Tom Brady in a sprint down the street?
Right?
Oh, because he's not that athletic.
Not that athletic. The Kings get screwed in 2002. We'll do that at 8 a.m.
Oh, is Chimezie Metu ready to take the next step to superstardom after a halfway decent summer league? On that at 8:05.
Right, you're putting all these, like, what we call evergreens. Break glass when needed topics.
Right.
And we know it's not like we're not trying to present good quality for you. It's just there are months and weeks, and COVID was the worst of all.
Really?
Where we went, 6-7 months with, imagine doing sports. It still amazes me. When we are 70, 80 years old, if we make it that far, guys like you and me and others in the business, we're going to be like documentary guests. Someone's going to a documentary about the dark zone in sports radio and how I am still amazed, and we're not far enough away from it yet. But I the more I think about it, I go, how did we function for 7 months on sports talk radio with no sports every day? No sports. There was nothing. I mean, honest to God, at one point I pitched that we should play classic rock on the station, just intro it like records, because what are we going to talk about? I was so looking at the landscape, I was so just like, what are we going to do? And, you know, we ended up.
Remember how, like, we're like the first week or two, we're like, this isn't going to last that
right,
long.
Right.
Let's come up with some really good stuff. I think you had like a Will Clark interview.
Yep.
We had LeVar Burton on. We're movie reviews. It's like, okay, we can use this type of evergreen.
We did movie reviews. Yes, sports movie reviews. You, me, and Jason. And then.
And then it just kept prolonging. Right. And it's like, all right, there's only so many movies we can review. And we got burnt on the movies very quickly.
Very quickly.
Because we've seen them all.
Desperately looking for something to talk about. And I have no idea how people kept listening.
Let's guess when the NBA is going to come back.
Right, yeah. We got a raffle. Anyways, the fact that we said, and the point is, you come in today. I mean, I was just sitting to your point about the rundown. I was just sitting there last night towards the end of the Rams-Bears game. And it's just so exciting. To go, oh, my God, we have. Like, honestly, I realized this morning, Jay, that I put it in this morning. I put it back in, but in this case, because Jay usually puts together the rundown and I'll add some stuff in.
Yeah, we usually collaborate.
No, come
I like
on. Let's be, no, I don't like to think that. You put the rundown together usually, about 90% of it, and then I add in the stuff. And I realized, Rick Adelman and Chris Webber and Yolanda Griffith went in the Hall of Fame, and I don't have that anywhere. That happened over the weekend.
Yeah, that was a small detail.
So it's just the idea of, like, the Giants sweeping the Cubs and the A's melting down. Like, those are afterthoughts. Football is just such a giant.
I know.
No,
that's all I thought about today coming in was just the Niners game. Niners, Niners, Niners.
I left.
And that the Jaguars suck.
Well, I wonder how that guy on – I wonder if
I feel like poor Trevor Lawrence is going to be a theme throughout the season.
Probably. And listen, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be a wonderful quarterback.
Same.
And it's way too early to gloat or to – but I've noticed I didn't see the guy that bet me $1,000 last year that Trevor Lawrence would finish in the top five for QBR this year. I didn't hear from him yesterday.
I think Trevor Lawrence can. Trevor Lawrence will not because of the surroundings.
Yeah, of course. Exactly. It's not his fault.
Plays for the Jags, man.
My goodness. I know, and they're called the Jags. That's that's like something you call your buddy.
Yeah, I feel like as long as that team is garbage, they're the Jags. If they ever get good, they can be the Jaguars.
From the five. Well, not the Jaguars. You like to say that.
I think Jaguar sounds better than Jaguar.
And then the car company says Jaguar.
Yeah, they're the actual ones that are incorrect.
Or maybe they're the only ones correct.
Nah.
From the 530. Text line 916-339-1140. Remember when you guys reviewed Ernest Goes to Mars? No.
No, we did. Hey, guy, if you're going to reference the Ernest film that I reviewed, because Dave refused to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Ernest Played Basketball.
Right. Is that what it's called?
Ernest Slam Dunk is the full name of the title.
Ernest Played Basketball would actually be a better title.
I agree. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in the movie. Like, how can you not want to watch the cinematic classic?
That's the one movie we did. I said, I'm not doing Ernest. I don't care.
And the security guard from White Man Can't Jump was in it, too. And the one guy from Tour of Duty.
Really?
Did you ever watch Tour of Duty? Good show.
No, I did not
watch. Oh, my God. That's, like, right up your alley.
Oh, God. Yeah. Tour of Duty.
Wow. What a sarcastic you-know-what.
I can't believe I didn't see it. I left here. one quick story. I left here Friday. And a old buddy of mine had said, hey, listen, last minute, I know, but we have this golf tournament. Can you play in it? And I went, that's Friday, fine. So go out. I'd never played the Ridge.
Because if it was Wednesday, he would have said no.
No, because too much going on. Screws the week up and the kids and naps and whatever. Like, I generally
try. The kids' naps are yours.
Mine. Mine. So I go out there, and it's our old friend Mark Haney, who is a good dude, and raised some good money for charity out at the Ridge Golf Course, and thanks to them and everybody for putting it together. But it was mentally exhausting because they're all, like Mark's group, they're all entrepreneurs. They're all usually younger, and by younger I mean 40 to 60, not, you know, 40 to 50.
The same pop out there playing golf.
Right. No. They're all business owners and people that just sold their business. And imagine like a meat market for dating where it's like speed dating, mm-hmm. but for business.
Okay.
And everyone's like, oh, did you get into that thing? No, did you get into it? No, yeah, I got into that thing 2 years. Oh, it went 4X. It was, oh, yeah, what'd you do with the cap table? Did you? I'm like, is it my shot? Like, I'm good. And then they're like, well, hey, so what's your radio, man? Is there good money?
Nope.
I'm like, no. And then, you know, move on. You know, everyone else talking.
Don't tell them you're in radio. Again,
no,
you have
they,
to block.
Oh, here we go. They knew what
oh,
I did.
Oh, look
for a
at
living.
Me.
Yeah,
they know me because I'm on the radio.
They're all a billion times richer than me, but they knew I was in radio.
Right. You're the popular one,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I feel good. Yeah, exactly.
You get to wear a hat backwards while you work. They have to comb their hair.
Oh, no, because most of them, the amount of people under 50 I met there that no longer work a regular job, they just retired after selling
right.
their thing.
And just click on money things
right.
and watch it go up.
Made me hate them. I played with one guy who was somewhere in the high eight figures.
Oh. He
sold his company. They sell scissors to salons.
Oh.
And he sold his company and made a ton of money. Another guy, he put these lockers at apartment complexes and businesses and stuff. And I guess if you order something from Amazon and you don't want it delivered to your house, or people are stealing boxes from you, it goes to the
These are the guys I hate.
Dude.
The common sense guys that become millionaires.
Thank you.
Like locker, apartment, Amazon. That makes a ton of sense.
They put the lockers in, and then he gets a cut off of every single thing from put in the locker, then sells advertising inside the locker when you open it, gets that money,
Jeez.
Has them all over the place. My exact age, right? And just got out like 3 months ago for $90 million.
That's
sold
it,
for
huh?
$90 million.
That's it.
It's done.
Hey, but he doesn't get to come into work every day and talk about Jason Verrett's injury, so you got him there.
That's what I'm saying. And the whole time,
our job is cool.
Well, that's the thing. We have, and they love our job. And I'm thinking, I want to do the locker thing.
Yeah, same.
I don't think you
because here's the thing: if I do the locker thing, I can create this job for myself and do it for fun.
Just build a studio in your house,
be a podcaster,
buy the station. Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Right? Podcast for four people just for the ego trip. That's what I would do.
It just goes to show you that when people talk about like specializing, I got to go to school for this to learn how to do this. You can get rich off of anything. You just have to be the person to do the thing.
I know. Like I said, it's that guy. It's locker guy and post-it guy. I'm just like, man, I got to start thinking of more. Because here's the thing. You know why? Because everyone thinks of those common sense things. And they're like, you know, someone else has already thought of this clearly.
But they haven't.
But they haven't.
Or they haven't. It's just not.
Right.
I always think about the little bumps. Always think about the little bumps in the middle of the road when you change lanes.
Mm-hmm.
Those little circle things. Someone had to invent those.
Yes. Someone
gets,
thought of that.
Like, a penny off of each one.
And there's a trillion of them.
Someone's sitting in a mansion somewhere, and they're like, so how did you get your fortune? And he's like, well, I invented these bumps in the middle of the road. Oh, wonderful. Like, bumps.
Toilet paper guy.
Toilet paper
the toilet guy. Paper family is killing it. Charmin family, come on.
Yeah, you made money off of wiping people's butts. Atta babe. Take a break.
That's the American dream.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
Oh, we got a lot to do today, everybody. The Niners got a scare. The Giants, just keep them brooms out. We got more football tonight. Matt Barrows, our first Football Friday, or Football Friday, our Football 5 guest on Monday. Beat writer for The Athletic for the Niners. We got a lot to get to. Don't go away. We're right back.
It's time for Leading Off, brought to you by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge, where for over 60 years, their name means a great deal in the Elk Grove Auto Mall and online at elkgrovedodge.com. Here's cut number one.
They kneel it out. The game is over and the 49ers win. 2-1. Gun goes. Wow.
All right. Greg Papa wanted out of there. So did the Niners. My goodness.
That fourth quarter had way more anxiety than needed.
So I got thoughts.
Okay.
We'll share those later.
Yeah.
Most of them. And Matt Barrows joins us at 8:05 to break this down. Injuries aside, and we'll talk about that. Big problem there. And it's what every Niner fan's been worried about is, hey, the Niners will do good well this year if,
all caps if,
but trying to put a positive spin on it, there is part of me, we'll see how this plays out, but that fourth quarter could be a good thing. I'll tell you why. I like the idea in my mind, the narrative of they roll into Detroit, they beat the hell out of them, then Detroit comes back in the fourth quarter. That way they're not rolling into Philadelphia, a team that, by the way, might be a little bit better than people think. They're not rolling into Philadelphia feeling all full of themselves. So they got the win, which was the important thing. But you got to think all week long, they're getting their butts kicked by the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look what happened. And that defense got embarrassed. The special teams got embarrassed. And George Kittle's face got a little embarrassed on that onside. I'm hoping it parlays into one of those things where they come out against Philadelphia and maybe they would have come out flat. Maybe they come out against Philadelphia. That defense has something to prove.
Well, that defense really, you know, with the Jason Verrett injury,
yep,
which was bad. You saw it. You knew immediately when he started hitting the ground and you could see the emotion in his face,
yep,
the very little you could see of it.
So lame.
It just sucks for a guy that had fought all the way back from injuries, you know, had the big year last year, comes in as a starting cornerback and gets hurt. And we got to talk about that situation a little bit later on. But they had admitted as much. That was a gut punch to that defense. And they did not bounce back from that. They got lucky. That was Jared Goff and the Lions that was down 8 with that last possession. Because if that is a team that is halfway decent, I think the Niners lose that game.
So Verrett's out for the year. And other news, which we don't really know much about yet, more tests today, but Raheem Mostert exited quite early. There was, as with any Kyle Shanahan team, you just plug and play.
Right, and Mostert, Shanahan, said after the game, they don't fear it's an ACL injury,
right,
so look for him. The Trey Sermon situation is something to watch, though.
Yeah, that was very interesting. Inactive going into the game. Would have been, in all seriousness, would have been a great way for him to
do. Oh, yeah.
Not a great way, but a huge opportunity for him. But next man up, Elijah Mitchell.
38 yards to the house, baby.
Bucko 4 had a touchdown. You know, it's normal, right?
That's Kyle Shanahan. It's running backs, and it's an offensive line that creates a lot of running space for their backs.
Much, much more. The best 49er coverage in Sacramento. 8:05 today, Matt Barrows. And we'll have Eric Armstead on also Wednesday to kind of see what that offensive line or defensive unit was thinking in that fourth quarter. All right, number two.
Leading off. Cut number two.
A swing and a slider is lifted to left, and waiting there for it is Wade. He's got it, and this ball game is over as the Giants beat the Chicago Cubs 15-4.
Yeah, this is annoying.
Oh?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm annoyed.
Speak to me.
So the Giants sweep the Rockies.
Expected.
The Giants sweep the Cubs.
Expected.
Oh,
the Giants, Cubs suck.
Giants have won 7 in a row.
Expected.
9 of 10.
Expected.
The stupid Dodgers won't lose.
Also expected.
Stop winning.
Hey, the Dodgers are good, too.
Yeah, I know, but golly. Stop winning.
Nah, this is, we talked about this last week. This is coming down to, like, the last week of the season.
I guarantee you in L.A. right now, the Dodger fans are, they're like, we swept the Padres. We didn't get any games. Stop winning, Giants.
Nah, see, Dodger fans, it's not that easy for them. They swept the Padres, and they can't understand how right. They're not in first because the math escapes them.
That's a great point right there. Well, they actually showed up late to math class and left early. That's the problem.
Yeah, no. Show up in fourth period, leaving, you know, 5 minutes while fourth period's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
Idiots. I'm one of them.
The Giants,
damn it.
The Giants have 19 games left. I think 18 are against the Padres or something like that.
It's a lot.
Start that run today. So the Padres.
Padres who might not even be in the wild card at this point.
Maybe the Padres are giving up. Or maybe the Padres got it all out against the Dodgers and now they're angry and they're going to play spoiler.
Oh, we're doing this.
Beware
of the
spoiler team.
Okay.
Maybe the Dodgers paid off the Padres.
That's what they did. The Dodgers, with all that money, said, hey, Padres.
Yep. You know what's going to
happen. Throw the series against us and then go beat the Giants.
Let's see how much the Padres help the Dodgers down the stretch, because they can. They gave them 3 games.
Do you realize the Padres have to win games to do that, though?
I'm saying.
They have not been doing that well.
Well, they will when they take a minimum of 2 of 3 in the series
against
the Giants. Guaranteed.
You're the worst.
Guaranteed.
You're the worst. The thing is, I hate the Giants, and I cannot stand your pessimism towards them. It's a weird dichotomy or whatever. Give me another word, but it's strange.
The SAP calls it pessimism. The studied young scholar calls it realism. It's just realism.
So I'm the study young scholar and you're the SAP.
Yes. I'm keeping it real, dude.
All right, Warren, can we get to number 3?
Yes.
Leading off, cut number 3.
Back into the gun. Richard stays on the field. And Richard goes out. Pass. Touchdown. Wide open is Waller.
Well, it can't get any easier than that.
The tubes are saying they can't hear the
People press buttons around here.
Yeah.
And it's not me.
That's in more ways than one, right?
Well, good point.
The Vegas Raiders will take on the Baltimore Ravens, who had a contest at the Bellagio to see who wanted to start at running back tonight for them.
Who won?
We'll see what Harbaugh does. Ain't going to be Le'Veon Bell. It ain't going to be Devontae Freeman. Is there?
So it's Latavius
Murray. It's going to be Tyson.
Or is Lamar
Williams.
Jackson just going to play both?
Right. Exactly. Lamar Jackson could have 214 yards rushing.
Well, we know we'll start at running back for the Raiders. That's not a question.
No. Josh Jacobs.
Jingleheimer Smith. His name is my name, too.
5:15 is your kickoff as the Raiders and Ravens, the final teams to kick off their season. And we will talk about that later today. We'll take a break right now, though.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, so we'll talk about the injuries. That's the big story with the Niners. Other than, of course, listen, they're 1-0, even though we're going to talk about it almost like it's a loss because it was a big injury. But there were some obvious, very big, bright spots, both on the receiving end and, hey, How about throwing a touchdown on your very first pass of your career?
Not a bad idea. Not a bad way to debut.
We'll get to Niners next.
Like a radio cockroach, you just can't get rid of them, no matter how hard you try. Back to the Carmichael Dave Show.
Kick it! It's a play action. Lance will throw wide open. Caught by Trent Sherfield. Touchdown! San Francisco!
That was jerky, baby.
Huh.
Welcome back.
Help me understand that call by the great Tim Ryan.
I can't.
You're usually good with food references.
I can't. Greg Papa will join us this
Greg
Friday.
Was fine.
Yeah, we'll ask him to interpret.
Greg was in peak mid-season form.
You know, he was. Trey Lance, his first throw.
How did that not feel great, baby?
It felt great. It felt great to everyone.
Come on, Tim.
Jerky. Trey Lance.
Was it chewy?
I didn't expect this stat. But Trey Lance, we thought he had a chance to be good. He's thrown a touchdown on every pass he's ever thrown in the NFL.
Every
single
pass.
One. Every one. 100% of the time he throws
My
touchdowns.
My Lord. How do you stop that?
You can't. He is the only player in NFL history to throw a touchdown pass on every pass he's ever thrown. Probably not. Probably not a stat. Sounds right, though. He was one of one for a touchdown. So if you started in fantasy, hey, you're happy. Jimmy Garoppolo.
If you started in fantasy, you're dumb.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll get to that in just a second. Jimmy Garoppolo, 17 to 25, 314 with a touchdown. A very Garoppolo-ish.
Jimmy looked good yesterday, man.
He did. And it was really kind of the inverse. You know who had almost the exact, I wouldn't say opposite, but their box scores were very, very polar opposite. You look at Jimmy Garoppolo, who was 17 of 25, 314 yards and a touchdown. And then you look at my guy, Jameis Winston.
Love Jameis. That was my fantasy starter.
Did you start him?
Oh, yeah.
Look at you. How many people in your league?
14.
I was going to say, okay. Jameis Winston, 14 of 20. For just 148 yards, less than half of Garoppolo.
But
he had five touchdowns.
Five touchdowns. And one of those was a pitch. It was a forward pitch to Cabrera.
I'm just saying, you throw the ball for less than 150 yards and you have five touchdowns. I'm telling you, dude, I told y'all some LASIK Jameis is a he is Ricky Vaughn.
Wild thing, Jameis Winston.
He is Ricky Vaughn, dude.
He should come out to that.
He absolutely should.
Wild thing. That'd be amazing.
It is a different Jameis Winston.
Let's also, yes, I agree with you. The LASIK probably did help him. Like, we can't.
Right.
I know it's funny to say that, but I do believe there is a lot of truth in that.
There is.
But also sitting under Drew Brees.
Yeah.
The Saints. Say, Sean Payton for a year.
He and Teddy Bridgewater, both graduates of the Drew Brees School of clipboarding.
Mm-hmm.
And it was better for their career.
And I thought Payton did a great job with Winston yesterday. He didn't put him in a position where Jameis had to force anything. And you saw classic Jameis, though, too. Was it the fourth quarter he threw that bomb?
Yep.
And I think Jameis, I think we're going to see a lot of that this year. I think Sean Payton knows exactly how to get the best out of Jameis Winston.
Even though we don't have it written down specifically, I think in the Three for Madness we'll be talking a little bit more about Jameis Winston and the Packers. In the meantime, the Niners lost Raheem Mostert after just two carries, two good carries too, by the way. Ends up averaging 10 yards on both his carries. But he has a knee injury. We'll find out more of the extent of that today. Elijah Mitchell, that's next man up right there.
And now it's a kill. Garoppolo flipping the run play here. The lone back is Elijah Mitchell. Toss right side behind the tight end. Flags are down. Mitchell into the secondary. Breaks a tackle. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Okay, so this Bears conversation, and I really can't wait to ask Matt Barras about this, because people were shocked pregame when Trey Sermon was a healthy scratch. He had been the clear number two back all preseason, and he was a healthy scratch. Guess what? Elijah Mitchell comes in and goes for a 104 and a touchdown. Now, on one hand, you can say, well, oh my God, if Elijah Mitchell did that, what could Trey Sermon do? That's not how you think. You think, Elijah, you have to tip your cap to Kyle Shanahan I enjoy the fact that it really doesn't matter who you are. I don't care what day we picked you. We're going to put who I think is the best man up. Now, I want to know why.
Well, he said it. He said Trey Sermon was not one of the top three running backs in camp and in preseason. I mean, he laid that out yesterday. He basically said Mostert, Jamichael Hasty, Elijah Mitchell all outperformed the kid. And I agree with you, although it is a little scary. I mean, it's week one. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. But the 49ers traded up to pick Trey Sermon.
Right.
And you're not cracking that three-man rotation. And by the way, Jeff Wilson Jr. is on the IR right now.
Something's hanky about this.
Sam.
Was there a run-in? Was there something else that happened behind the scenes?
I'm kind of in your lane. I just feel it was that.
Is this a teach the rookie a lesson? Well, let's remember, too, Elijah Mitchell was round six. He's a rookie as well. It's not like this guy was a free agent practice guy.
But they didn't trade up to draft Elijah Mitchell.
No, they didn't.
Speaking of guys that might be in the doghouse or might not be in the doghouse, I thought the Brandon Ayuk not starting was an interesting thing as well.
That's another thing. Brandon Ayuk, no touches.
20 targets, no touches, didn't start. Sherfield started, and I thought Sherfield looked good. And
did you say 20 targets?
Yeah, he played 20 snaps. I'm
20
sorry.
20 snaps, yeah.
Zero targets. But played 20 snaps.
That, talk about a decoy. But Brandon Ayuk's not thick enough to be a decoy in the NFL yet, I don't think.
No, not at all.
And by the way, this is not an outlier. I mean, the numbers will be an outlier for sure. He's not going to do this every game. But wow, what a difference a healthy Deebo Samuel makes.
Deebo is a special talent, man. He really is. With all the injuries they had last year, I think that's the one people kind of glossed over because a lot of the focus was on, you know, the Nick Bosa injury, the Jimmy Garoppolo injury. But, man, Deebo Samuel, when he is healthy, he just does so many things.
Yep.
He can block at the wide receiver position. You can run the routes with him. You can also hand the ball off. He just does so much, and you saw it. That play he made where he came back on the ball, on that Jimmy Garoppolo alley-oop, and then beat two defenders down the field to score the touchdown. I really hope we get a fully healthy year of Deebo Samuel because he is an X factor on that offense.
He has that combination of good hands, great hands, burst. He has a burst that is really underrated when you look at him. He doesn't look like, oh my God, this guy's the quickest guy in the world, but he has a burst.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, it's tough to bring this dude down.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
He's a big, big boy. He George Kittle, by the way, 4-78. And, you know, if Trey Lance ever does become the starter for this team and you guys want a fantasy pickup, Trent Sherfield has – you saw it in the preseason. They very much have a rhythm together. And Sherfield's a guy that came over from the Cardinals. I think really just got lost in the shuffle over there.
Yeah, with Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald last year.
Exactly. They bring him over.
And a guy named DeAndre Hopkins, pretty good too.
He's okay. And he has become a guy who you throw the ball towards him, he's usually going to catch it, and his routes are, according to everybody, fantastic. So that's the good. It'll be interesting to see what goes on with Mostert's knee. That's going to, I'm sure, inform what they do with Trey Sermon.
Yeah, I mean, well, he'll have to be elevated, you would think. Something tells me Mostert will miss the game on Sunday.
I agree with you.
And Elijah Mitchell is very Mostert-esque, where he just has that burst right out of the line.
Yeah.
But yeah, Trey Sermon will probably be in there by default, but
it'll be Mitchell Hasty Sermon.
That's what I'm thinking too. Yes. It's just how is he going to split the carries?
But for all we know, let's say Mostert's out. Is it really going to shock you if we go into next Sunday's game against Philly and Sermon's the starter?
No. No, not at all.
That's what's so strange.
We've talked about all the elements of the game and who did what well. We haven't even talked about the offensive line yesterday. It was amazing.
It was.
I saw the stat appear at some point in the fourth quarter. Like Jimmy Garoppolo had been hurried, I think, twice. Yep. No knockdowns, no sacks.
Just sacked. It finally was sacked one time. Obviously, a buck 31 on the ground's nothing to sneeze at. But a buck 31 on the ground. It's a little bit misleading when you're talking about how great this offensive line did because they threw the ball so much. They averaged 4.7 yards a carry. That's really what I think is the more telling number because 131 yards on the ground, it's fine. It's nothing crazy. But when you look at the fact that they average almost 5 yards a carry, and the longest carry, longest run was Mitchell's 38-yard touchdown, that's a big deal.
Yeah,
not to mention the downfield blocking as well, which helped things like Samuel on mm-hmm. that touchdown.
Yeah, no, it's just they're really good. And you saw Jimmy Garoppolo have all the time in the pocket, and that's just it. Granted, the Lions' defense isn't very good. We have to highlight that as well. But if Jimmy Garoppolo has time, and we talked about this time and time again, it's the offensive line, and he has time, and now he has the receivers, and you saw it. I think George Kittle, you said Brandon Ayuk was a decoy. George Kittle was almost the decoy yesterday.
Still had 78 yards on four catches.
That's what I mean.
You're right.
And it allowed Deebo Samuel to really open up on offense, and he just dominated them.
Nick Bosa, in his first game back, well done. He had a sack. He had three tackles for loss. Well, I've talked to our guy Eric Armstead, who was he had a tough go of it, a tough challenge for him. Just one solo tackle on the day for Eric. But interesting to see some of the healthy guys or injured guys come back. We'll talk about more injuries a little bit later, including again at 8:05 when we talk to Matthew Barrows. We'll take a break.
Yeah, that was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, like I said, the list goes on and on and on of stuff we've got to get to, including your San Francisco Giants. Maybe they're not your San Francisco Giants, but the San Francisco Giants going into Wrigley, doing something that hasn't been done since 1995. We'll get into all that next.
One is bald, the other completely lacks talent, and they're both here to entertain you. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHCK.
How did the defense in the running game give overall shape to the way this played out, Jameis?
Well, I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
Words of wisdom.
Oh, have a day, Jameis Winston.
I love Jameis.
Jameis says,
I'm here for him.
Yeah, Jameis is a character and then some. So are the San Francisco Giants. They are characters. They just continue to win.
Ooh, yeah. San Francisco Giants trivia for you, Carmichael David.
Uh-oh.
For the win and $5 million.
Yeah.
Logan Webb last lost a game he was the starting pitcher when?
Oh, gosh. That's got to be sometime in late June.
Mm-mm.
No, when?
Cinco de Mayo.
Wow.
Logan Webb has not lost a game he started since May 5th.
He's been pretty good.
That's a good streak.
Hey,
I'd
he's
take
been
it.
Pretty good. Also, the Brewers, not for nothing, they had a combined no-hitter over the weekend. It's a weird celebration when it's a combined no-hitter.
You know what's funny about that? Shouldn't it be more of a celebration? It's like, we did this in a team sport.
Yeah, but it isn't.
Yeah, good point.
weirdly enough, the Cleveland Indians
Guardians.
Set a record. Well, not that they're not the Guardians yet.
Cleveland baseball team.
They set a record. They become the first team in Major League Baseball history to be no hit thrice in a season. Three times. And what's weirder about that?
Rachel Phelps would be proud, by the way.
Is son of former Major Leaguer Dan Plesac, Zach Plesac, started all three of those games for Cleveland.
It's his fault.
It is 100% his fault. Anyways.
What is he doing to those bats?
I don't know.
Has Joe Boo been getting into the rum again and the Guardian Indians baseball team just doesn't know it?
The Giants have won 7 in a row. The Giants have won 9 of 10. And it was so crazy yesterday, too. And again, this goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the program, just when there's overload. Because it's the first NFL red zone of the year, too, yesterday. And you got fantasy stuff. I had fantasy every day. Two fantasy teams going here. I was doing the daily fantasy.
One of these days, can you like take a picture of your entire setup? Because I always just picture
it is, dude.
Spaceship.
I have
command center
and phone and the TVs and every it is
popcorn.
It is so actually it was gummy cherries yesterday.
Ah.
Yeah. It is so. It is so perfect for somebody with ADD because it is just stimulation overload.
Like this all day?
This is going this, here, and this.
Like a ping pong ball.
And I thought at one point, I'm like,
pinball.
I got to check on the Giants score.
Oh, yeah, baseballs are happening
and
still.
I'm like, I need to be watching this game. They're going for the sweep. But I don't have time for you, baseball. I don't. I'll check in. And then I joined the game in the eighth inning and watched. You know, I kept track of the score.
Treating baseball like the side chick it is. Your wife is home now.
Kind of is.
Hey, I'll text you when I'm available.
I'm watching the end of the Niner game. You get into the 1 o'clock games and all that. Oh, my God, Cleveland's blowing out the Chiefs. What's going on here? And meanwhile, you know, then you go from all that. And then in the eighth inning, it was funny. I turned it to the Giants-Cubs game to watch the end of it. And it's like going from Slayer and Sepultura having a baby to Harry Connick Jr.
Harry Connick is a fine artist.
No doubt about it, much like baseball is a fine sport. But the pacing.
Yeah.
It's...
Yeah. And you go from heavy rock to a ballad.
Right. Anyways, the Giants maintain a 2.5 game lead over the Dodgers. Why can't we just all agree to have baseball petition baseball? Can we just do Giants Dodgers the rest of the year?
The two teams play each other?
Just play each other.
Yeah, I'm here for that. That's fine.
Just have them play each other the rest of the year. Max Scherzer had a no-no going for quite the few innings yesterday.
Max Scherzer is a freaking cheat code, dude. Yep. He is up, down, down, left, right, BA start.
There's an article I read over the weekend saying that he might be the best free agent pitching pickup ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say no to that. I mean, he's come over since then, and I think he started 7 games. He's just been untouchable.
Yeah.
I mean, like, legitimately untouchable.
Because the Dodgers needed pitching.
They did. You know, the Dodgers were a team that struggles to find talent, and it's very unlike the Dodgers to make a big move. So happy they finally satisfied their fan base and did it.
It's good to see David win every once in a while.
I know, because when you got Goliaths like the Oakland A's, for instance.
Wow, look at you. Look at you making a transition. Let me just finish up here. I want to get to what's going on today real quick, and then we'll move on. We'll get to that what's on tap as well. 6:45, Giants host the Padres today in San Francisco. So there's that. A's, by the way, off today, and to your point about the A's.
Real quick, before we get to that, the Giants today, with a win over the Padres, will clinch a playoff berth.
That's right. How about that? And we're sitting here in the beginning of September. The A's... Let's just do this.
Oh, you're finally ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Because I did this about a month ago.
September 13th, 2021, 6:53 a.m. Is the time we're calling. The Oakland A's, chances of making the postseason, passed away yesterday. After a battle that looked like it was going well for much of the season, but in the end, they just don't have enough. And when you're doing things like losing consecutive games to the Rangers, that Saturday game was terrible. They were both terrible. That Saturday's game was really bad.
Saturday's game was a bummer.
And that's after you took 2 of 3 from the White Sox. Then you open up with a win over the Rangers, nice 10-5, thinking, okay, maybe there's something here. Now you're officially on a winning streak. Nah, you dropped 2 of 3 to the Texas Rangers. And now they go into Kansas City, and you think, oh, okay, maybe they can, you know, maybe. No. I mean, who cares? Even if they beat them. Kansas City, 65-78, they should take 2. They're not going to.
Listen. The A's ownership group has been committing crimes for a while now.
Yep.
And finally, it took a Ranger all the way from Texas
Walker.
To come in.
Yep.
And, you know, lay down the law. And they did that.
6.5 back of the Astros in the West. 3 back of the Boston Red Sox and Toronto Blue Jays for the wild card. One last note. I normally can't stand the Subway Series because everyone's supposed to care about it because it's New York. But if you caught last night's Mets Yankee, boy, was that entertaining.
The Francisco Lindor game.
Oh, my God. The how about, hi. Okay, remember me. I'm talented.
Yeah. But here's struggling. 3 home runs to remind you.
I'm still Francisco Lindor. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, top of the hour. Soundgarden time. Jimmy Garoppolo, Jameis Winston, a different Jameis Winston cut. And who better to speak on Aaron Rodgers than Terry Bradshaw? Soundgarden is next.